All right, all right. How many's ready for a now faith? Come on now. Why do I feel like, all right, all right, all right. Anyway, just keep going. Today, I love the Lord. I'm glad you're with us, whether you're watching online or you're here in the auditorium. I believe today that God has got a powerful word for your life. Listen, our understanding of our spiritual authority and power will affect what level we live out faith. Let me say it again. Our understanding of our spiritual authority and power will affect what level we live out our faith. Today, when you go home and if it's dark inside your house and you walk in, what's the first thing you're going to do? Huh? You're going to turn on the lights, right? You're going to hit the light switch. And you have faith that the light's going to come on, don't you? Why do you have faith that the light is going to come on when you hit the on and off switch? Because why? Because you know that power has already been ran to that house, right? You know there's power has already been ran. And so when you flip on that switch, you have faith that the light's going to come on because the power has already been taken care of. And so by faith, you switch that switch knowing that it's come on. How about when you go out to your car and you put your key in? You have faith that the power is going to start right back up, right? Now, I know a few of you, maybe you drive a car like I used to drive, where I had some doubts at times. But for the most part, we have faith that when we turn that switch over, that our car is going to power up. Why? We have faith because we know there's power already hooked up. We know that the power is already there. Come on now. You got to have faith that God has already given you the power that you need. You need to have faith to walk out your life-given faith, knowing that God has already given you that power. We'll come back and talk about that in just a few minutes. How about, let's just talk about authority today. You know, my family loves to attend the Oklahoma Sooners football games. Any Oklahoma Sooner fans in the house? Come here, you now. I knew God was moving today, special. Yeah. Come on, Kim Sparks. I know you're out there. There you are. All right. Boomer Sooner, that's right. Today, we've had season tickets off and on. My family has season tickets, and we try to attend as many games as possible. And I know one thing, when I attend with my ticket, I can get into the game, and they allow me to sit in my assigned seat. But they don't allow me to go up and sit in the coach's box. They don't allow me to go up and sit in the coach's suite, even though I would like to do that. You know, oftentimes, like, I want to run on the field. I want to sit down there with the players and the coaches. I want to go underneath the stands with everybody, all the us other important people. I want to go eat from the coach's buffet. I want to go down there and see the locker rooms. And, you know, I want to be out there. I want to high-five the players when they're coming out. I mean, all these things I want to do, Johnny, but I don't have the authority to do that. I've got to stay where I've been given authority, and that's my assigned seat. But there was this one time. In 2017, as many of you know, my son Landon, who plays at Missouri State football team, we was being recruited, and he'd already verbally committed to go to Missouri State to play football. They offered him a full scholarship there. He had 19 Division I full offers, and he chose Missouri State. But at the very end of his recruiting cycle, OU called him up and said, hey, we'd love for you to come down for a recruiting trip, attend one of the games, and we'd like to talk to you about possibly thinking about walking on as a preferred walk-on, and then maybe you'll get a scholarship later, and we'll talk about it. And so my son was like, Dad, what should you do? I've already committed to Missouri State, and we got a state championship game on Friday night late and at Mizzou, and then they want us there like at 10 o'clock in the morning on Saturday morning. What should we do? I said, son, I don't know about you, but I know one thing. We're going to that game. I said, you're going to win the state championship, and then we're going to drive all night. You can sleep, don't say a word, but Dad is going to be at that game. Whether you like it or not, we're going to be at that game. And sure enough, we won the state championship. We drove back at a parade at like 3 o'clock in the morning in downtown Webb City. And then we went home and packed a few things up, got the car, and I drove all morning long. And we got there about 9:30, 10 o'clock. We walked in, we checked in. They handed one of these things and put it around my neck. And it says, Oklahoma, OUDNA. And it's got my name, Gene Beebe, right there. On an official Big 12 lanyard, right here. And let me tell you, when they put this around my neck, You'd have thought I was Barry Switzer, Bob Stoops, and Lincoln Riley all wrapped up into one. I'm like, excuse me, people, somebody's got to get through. Walked right in where the players walk in. Walked in with all the national championships and Big 12 championship trophies are there. Walked over to the coach's buffet. Started eating from the coach's buffet. Sit down at the coach's table. Was there when the players come in. Hey, Baker, how you doing? Come on in. Have a great game, son. You think I'm exaggerating? This is the very truth. They said, we're going to take you out of the field. And they got my son, and we're walking out of the field, and we got to go under the tunnel where the players come out. And they have a big sign, play like a champion. And I jumped up, and we touched it just like the players did. Went out on the field as they're warming up. I'm standing on the sideline with assistant coaches. I'm like, you need to work these guys a little harder right here. Just move to cover three instead of cover two. I'm telling out the coaches what to do, you know, and sitting there, and Dr. Bourne comes up, the president of the university, takes a picture with Landon, and shakes our hand, and we're talking to him, and I'm seeing all the peasants up in the stands sitting in those cheap seats. And when it was time for us to go to our seat, right before the game started, no, they didn't take us outside and back around like I usually have to come down from the outside. No, they took us across the field. Took my time, waved at my family in the stands. How you doing, suckers? You know? They opened the special door I didn't even know was there on the field. And they opened, and we walked right up just a few rows off the field and sat in a very special seating they had for the recruits and the family. And after the game was over, they came and took us back down on the field and took us back into the tunnel where we could be there where the coaches were coming out and talking to us as we left and all those things. It was a great experience. And you know, Daryl, the reason why I could experience all that was, number one, I was given authority. I was given authority to do that thing. Now, Daryl, I know that you believe that the reason why they gave me this badge was not because they wanted me to play. I was at least 5 years past my prime by this time, okay? Come on now, come on, all the dads say amen, okay? At least I can admit it, okay? They wasn't there because they were trying to get me to play. They wasn't asking me if I had any eligibility left. No, the reason why they gave me a badge is because of my relationship with the Son. Because my Son had been given authority. Because of my relationship with my Son, I was given a badge and I was also given authority. Because they wanted him to come, they allowed me to come as well. And we got to realize today, because of what the Son of God has done in our life on the cross, that you and I have been given a badge of authority that's been covered in the blood of Jesus. Come on now. He's been covered in the blood of Jesus, giving you spiritual authority. You've been invited places you don't even know. Doors are opening you don't even know. God's giving you favor you don't even know. You've been given this spiritual authority. You got to learn to use it. It's a balance of power and authority. Look at this. Faith changes. Faith changes when you understand your power and authority. You can't help. Your faith grows when you understand your power and authority. It helps it grow in our life. Now, as we get ready to go into our opening text today, remember now, Moses has been, he fled Pharaoh. He fled there at the palace. He was in trouble, took off and was hiding in the backside of the desert. He's been hiding for 40 years. Then all of a sudden, God comes and speaks to him in the burning bush. Now, let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 3. Let's read verses 1 and 2, then we'll skip to verse 7. Now, Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert. And he came to Horeb in the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of the fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And surely the Lord said out of this bush, he says, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Let me just stop there before we go on and say this to you. Have you ever felt like you've been in the backside of a desert for 40 years? You ever feel like God has forgotten you? You ever feel like, God, when are you going to hear my cry? God, when are you going to hear my request? God, listen, God has not forgotten you. It may seem like you're on the backside of a desert somewhere all alone in hiding, but God still sees you. And if he made a promise to your family, if he made a promise to your generation, he's going to keep it. I'm here to tell you, God will keep every promise he's made to you. And God today still sees you even when you feel like you're all alone. He says, I see the oppression of my people. And I want you to know God has never intended for us to live our life in oppression. No, the very opposite. He came to set us free. It says, who the Son has set free is free indeed. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty. We have not been given a spirit of oppression. So if you're feeling oppressed today, learn to flex your spiritual authority and power and say, no, I'm not going to walk oppressed. I've already been given the badge of authority in my life for what Jesus has done on the cross, and I can walk free of that. And so he's telling them, hey, I see these things. Let's pick up the rest of the story. In chapter 4, verse 1 and 5 says, and then Moses answered and said, but suppose they say they will not believe me. Remember, God said, I want you to go and speak on my behalf. And Moses was like, I can't do this. Suppose they don't believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say the Lord has not really spoken to you. And so the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? It's always important. What has God given you? Quit looking what's in somebody else's hand and look at what's in your hand. Quit looking at somebody else's gift and look what God has gifted you with. It may not seem like a lot. It may seem like only a shepherd's staff and something that's not worth a lot. But in your hands, when God gives it authority and power, it can come to life. He says, what's in your hand? And Moses answered, a rod. He said, well, cast it on the ground. So he cast it on the ground and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. I would too. How about you? Okay. And then the Lord said to Moses, now reach out your hand and take it by the tail. He's got more faith than me. Then Moses reached out his hand. He caught it and it became a rod again in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. You shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do these signs. Now, what I want you to see here is simply this. God says, I want you to go and tell them you're coming in my name. And he goes, what if you don't believe me? He goes, then you're going to go in my power. See, you got to realize, look at this statement. God's authority must be combined with God's power. In our life, God's authority must be combined with God's power. He told Moses, you go with my authority and you also go with my power. So we have a lot of people who are trying to walk out in God's authority and not in God's power. And we have other people who try to walk in God's power, but not in God's authority. You need both. It's a balance. Listen to me. It's a balance of both authority and power in our life. We should never be unbalanced, okay? We should never be trying to walk in more power than we've been given authority. And we should be always trying to walk in authority and power. It's a balance of both that God wants our faith in our life to walk out in. See, we need the badge of authority with the power to back it up. One without the other is bad. Now, I'm going to tell you a story this morning that I told the first service. And I told the first service, I said, I never told my kids the story, but they're all old enough now. They're all 18 and over. So I can tell you the story and not worry about my kids. So there may have been this one time, technically speaking, when I was a teenager when I was speeding. I know that's hard to believe, but I was speeding and I remember passing this car. And all of a sudden, this car, if I passed him, pulled up behind me and I saw the lights going off, the blue lights. I'm like, oh, great. You know, I just passed an unmarked car. It ended up being a cop. And so I pulled over and I put my hands at 10 and 2, rolled down the window. Yes, sir. Can I see your license? Yes, sir. I handed out my license. And then, you know, he goes back. I'm going to call this in. And I look back and I'm like, no, it's like, he's in the car. That's not a real light. It's just like one you put up on your dash, you know. And so I'm like, sir, are you a cop? He goes, well, I'm a retired police officer. I said, oh, you're a retired police officer. I said, sir, may I have my license back? And I said, see ya, don't want to be ya. You have no authority to pull me over. What are you doing? And I left and I called the cops. I said, listen, this guy pulled me over. He's retired. It goes, is he out? He goes, no, he doesn't have to pull you over. It's just some guy having a bad day, thought he was on a power trip and pulled me over. Listen, he thought he had the power to pull me over, but he had no authority. And so I didn't have to stay there. Listen, you're going to have authority and power. It doesn't, one without the other is bad. You got to have both operating in your life. You need both. Look what Luke 4 says, verse 35 and 37. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying this, what a word is this? For with authority and what? Power. They all recognize Jesus had authority and power. He commands the unclean spirits and they come out. And the report about him went out into every place surrounding that region. Let me say this to you. Even the demons know this point, that Jesus is full of authority and power. Even Satan himself knows, and they must obey the power of Jesus' authority and the power of Jesus' power. They must obey. They are scared. When Jesus would walk in the room, they would automatically scream out, have mercy on us. Why are you here tormenting us? Leave us alone. And Jesus is just walking by. He's not even looking their way. And they're screaming at him, get away from us, Jesus. Why? Because the demons understand the power and authority of Jesus. Isn't it a shame that the demons have more understanding than many people in the church have? I mean, they know the power and authority of Jesus. Do you know the power and authority of Jesus? If you're a Christian today, you must understand this, that you have been given power and authority, and nothing can come against you in the demonic world, in the spiritual world. If God says no, they must obey. When you use the power of Jesus' name, every evil thing must obey and fall underneath that command. It's the power and authority we've been given in Jesus. Now look at Luke 10:19. Says this right here. Behold, I give you the authority. See, he's given us the authority to trample over serpents and scorpions. The word serpents is symbolic in the Bible of Satan. Scorpions are symbolic of any demonic thing that follows Satan. So we've been given authority. Jesus said, I give you authority over Satan and any demons that follow him. Because you have been given over all the power of the enemy. We've been given what? Authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You've got to understand this. We receive power. Acts 1:8 says it like this. You receive your power. After that, you receive the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And he goes on, you're going to be my witnesses. And he tells them, man, you're going to receive this power. We receive authority from Jesus. We receive a power from the Holy Spirit. We receive authority from Jesus, and we receive the power from the Holy Spirit. So what is authority? Authority is divine permission. It translates out, we've been given divine permission, a supreme judicial authority that comes from Jesus. What if the police came to you today and said, you know what, guys, I really need your help. I need some guys out here to help me. And so he says, you know what, I'm going to need some help. So he looks out and he says, Joe, I really need you to help me today. I'm going to swear you in as a deputy. We got people coming in, and there's these big gangs coming in. They're going to begin to tear down our city. They're wanting to kill people. They're wanting to destroy the businesses, and we need some extra help. And so I need to deputize some more people. And so Joe's like, yeah, anything to help out. I'm brave. I'll help do my part. I'll do my civic duty. He goes, sure, swear me in. And he swears him in and gives him a badge. He gives him the badge. A badge represents authority. And he says, now get out there. Go help. And Joe's like, wait, what are you talking about? Can I get one of those bulletproof vests? Oh, I'm sorry, we don't have any more of them. Can I get one of those helmets and a shield? The riot gear, there's going to be riots. He goes, I'm sorry, we're all out of riot gear. Do I get a weapon? No, we've given away all of our weapons. Can I have one of those fancy cars? No, you can't have a car. Can I have someone to back me up? Sorry, we don't have any more partners. Joe's like, well, here's your badge. I ain't going to go out there. Why? Because it's one thing to be given authority, but authority without power is bad. You got to have authority and power mixed together. It's important as believers, we understand we've been given both The power stands for what? Power stands in the scripture. We look at it. It says the power is called a dunamis, which means dynamite. We've been given a dynamite power, God's power and ability. It's linked to the same word we use for dynamite. It's explosive. It's an explosive power we've been given. When by faith you accept Jesus on the cross, you receive a badge of authority that Jesus gives to us. And when you surrender your life to the Holy Spirit, you receive a power that comes from Most High. And when you operate in both the power and the authority, the enemy must flee from you. The enemy must leave your marriage, must leave your children, must leave your home, must leave your finances. You got control to step up and say, you know what? I'm going to begin to speak out with power and authority. It's important we understand we have both in our life. The closer I walk with God, the more authority I walk in. The more I walk with God every day in my life, the more I discover how much He loves me, how much grace is for my life, the more authority I walk in. And the more I surrender my life to the Holy Spirit, the more power I walk in. So every day, that's why we teach. It's important that we learn to walk with the Lord every day, not just on Sunday, but on Monday and Tuesday. We're learning what it means to walk in fellowship with God, because I'm walking in His authority and I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Exodus 14. Look what it says here. And Moses said to the people, this time out a second. Think about this first. Now, Moses, first of all, was like, God's like, go, Moses, go set my people free. And he's like, well, God, they won't listen to me. I'm not a very good speaker. I stutter, and people just won't listen to me. He's really timid about going, and God has to almost just push him right along, like, get out there. You're going to be okay. And he teaches him, you know, and Moses is like, you know, all right, I'll try it. And now he's gotten out there. Now all the plagues have happened. Now they've left with Egypt. He took all the children of Israel, and they've left. They fled Egypt. Now they're there at their backs against the Red Sea. And remember, Pharaoh's army's coming against them now, chasing after them. They got scared. And all of a sudden, something happens in Moses. You see, the spirit of T.D. Jakes and Braveheart all wrapped into one. All of a sudden, comes into Moses. I don't know if it was the beard or what, you know, but he's like, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. And the Lord will fight for you, and you shall behold the peace of the Lord. I mean, can you see this? Moses having this brave heart moment. All of a sudden, this brave man, and God's like, time out. Time out. I can imagine God was like kind of chuckling inside, like, I'm creating the monster here, you know? He was like, you know, I don't know if the beard's growing on you, what's going on all of a sudden, but the staff went to your head. And he's like, look what he says. He goes, why do you cry to me? He goes, just tell the children of Israel to go. So he goes, cut out the fancy speech. Just go. Just go. He goes, quit trying to give them a pep talk. I've already delivered them. I've already showed you the signs. Now, just go. Go forward. Go forward. Lift up your rod. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. See, God was saying, listen, you don't have to give some fancy speech. Just go forward in the power and authority I've already given to you. You've already seen the authority working. You've already seen the power working. Now get up and go forward in it. Listen, look at this statement. God won't do for us what He's already empowered us to do. See, some of us are waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. Well, you must think God is really slow, because some of you have been waiting a long time. You ever heard somebody say, I don't want to run ahead of God? I'm like, you're going to run ahead of God? You ain't that fast. You know, but sometimes we use them for an excuse. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. Listen, there's a time to pray. There's a time to wait. But there's also a time to go forward. And God said, get up and go forward. I've already given you the authority. I've already given you the power. Now walk in it. Go forward. The enemy is not going to defeat you. See, we got to understand this. God is wanting us to move forward in power and authority. It's time for you to get up and to move forward in faith. It's time for you to stop waiting, sitting around and waiting. No, it's time for you to get up and start walking in your authority and faith and the power God's already given you. Anything associated with the devil does not have a hold on a believer's life. Today, if you are a Christ believer, you surrender your life to Jesus, there is no hold the enemy can have on your life. You have been given freedom from that power in your life. So if you're feeling like the enemy's just picking on me, the enemy's always picking on me, I'm just feeling like he's got me, he's attacking me, listen, don't just sit there. Do something about it. You've already been given the power and authority. Pick up yourself, put your big boy britches on, stand up to the enemy and say, in the name of Jesus, you got to leave my family, you got to leave my marriage, you got to leave my children, you got to leave my body, you got to leave my home, my family, whatever. Get up and speak it out. Then the enemy must obey. If he's still there, it's because you haven't spoken out against him. Learn to use your spiritual authority. This is Matthew 28:18. I like this verse. And Jesus came and he spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now go, therefore, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see this being one of the last commands that Jesus gave to his followers, those who were with him after his resurrection. He appeared to them one of the last times, and this is what he told them. Listen, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go. He was saying this, I've been given the authority, and now I'm transforming you, and I'm giving you the authority on heaven and earth. This authority is coming to you. Now go. What you've seen me do, you do. When you've seen me pray, you pray. When you've seen me heal, you heal. When you see me operate in faith, you operate in faith. You go baptizing people. You go proclaiming the good news of the Father. I've already given you the power and the authority. Now go. Go in it. Walk in it. Let me give you this last scripture today. Matthew 16:18. Jesus told us, and say, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth, it will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth, it will be loosed in heaven. You've been given the keys. The keys are this. It's power and authority. We've all been, as believers, we've all received power and authority. But it's up to us. I've got to bind. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You have no more power over my life. Satan, I bind your attack on my mind. Satan, I bind your attack. I'm not going to live my life addicted to what you want me addicted. I bind that in Jesus' name. And I begin to speak out that you're loosing that addiction from my mind and my spirit. Satan, I bind you right now. You're not going to attack my marriage. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. My marriage shall be a healthy marriage. We're a God-centered marriage. You got to speak that out now. Satan, you can't have my children. I bind that spirit over my children in Jesus' name. And I declare my children are going to stay in the house of the Lord. And they're going to come back to God. So you got to speak it out. You've been given that authority. See, it's now time for power and authority. It's a now faith. It's a now faith. Let me invite you to bow your heads. As you bow your heads, I want to ask you the question. It all starts, the power and authority starts when you surrender your life fully to Jesus Christ. And so whether you're here in the auditorium or watching online, I ask you the question today, have you surrendered your life fully to Jesus Christ? Are you ready today to make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If you've never prayed that prayer before, we won't do anything to single you out or embarrass you. But I want to make sure you have a chance today to follow Jesus. And so if you want to make that decision, can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, Pastor, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ. Raise it. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else want to raise your hand and say, I'm ready. Thank you. Yeah. This is great, guys. If you're online as well and you're ready to accept Jesus, I want you to say this prayer after us. We're going to say it here in the auditorium. Those who raised your hands and Christians sitting around, we're going to say this prayer. You say it as well. Say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe you are the Messiah, God's only son. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say, welcome to the family of God. Come on, give me a hand clap. Yes.